Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Here's a good question to ask a professional investment advisor. Do you invest your money the same way you invest your clients' money? Buy and sell the same things? If their answer is, well, not exactly or not always, does that make sense? Makes you wonder. KPP Financial Principals invest their own money right alongside their clients. To find out more about their investment programs, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial, and now today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is September 2nd, 2016. I welcome your money questions, as always. And, of course, I welcome any comments you have. As long as it's financial, I'll be happy to talk about it. And I do want to hear any investing stories you might want to share. You know, sharing experiences, everybody, helps everybody learn. Now, being Friday, it's time to check the highlights of our premium newsletter that I send out every Friday to all our clients and to those who subscribe. And, of course, the first section is always the current market conditions section. And I mentioned that there was a massive amount of economic statistics out this week. Massive. But there's only two pieces that were leading economic indicators. But I thought it was more interesting to report on what the IMF did. You know, they're having the G20 meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And that means the 20 largest economies, basically, the central bankers are meeting there. And they come out, the IMF, International Monetary Fund, always comes out with their predictions for their world economic growth. And they were, in the beginning of July, they said that in 2016 we're going to have about a 3.2% growth in the world GDP. And this morning they said we're going to knock that down to 2.2%. 2.2%. Now, you know, our GDP, if we get 2%, 2.2, we'd be lucky. I mean, and to think about it, our GDP, we're pretty strong. We, meaning the U.S., is pretty strong. Look at Europe. Look at Japan. China is growing like, you know, 6%. But that's a far cry from what they were growing. In our stock ideas section, we always have a couple stock ideas that I share. These are just ideas. There is not recommendations to buy or sell anything because we can't do that. The SEC doesn't allow, but they are ideas to put on your watch list. In the portfolio management section, now we talked about the Federal Reserve. And I'm going to talk about the Federal Reserve a little bit more later on when we discuss the jobs report. And then, of course, there's a consumer watch. And on this week, I said, you know, I'm a baby boomer. That's my generation. And I hear a lot of resistance to the idea of self-driving cars. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. Because when I'm 90 years old, can barely see and can barely walk, I get to get in my car and say, take me someplace. I love it. I'm going to be very happy when that comes. And I get a lot of feedback from people my age or older, think it's a terrible idea. I think it'll be less accidents, not more. That's a consumer watch section. So if you think you want that kind of information, it comes out every week in our newsletter. You can always sign up for it. You go to investtalk.com and sign up. You'll see it. It's at the bottom of the page. Now, do you have questions about investing terms, market data? How do you know when to sell a stock? You can check in right now or anytime with any money questions. 888-99-CHART is our number. We'll try to answer your question on the very next Invest Talk.
Hey, Steve, Dustin, enjoy the show. My name is Larry, listener and podcast in Los Angeles. I have a general question. I'm kind of worried about whether we'll have enough for retirement. A little bit about myself, age 45. Expenses run about $100,000 a year for the family, and we have invested assets of roughly $1.1 million in liquid assets, mix of 401k IRAs, cash accounts. We save about $5,000 a month between the 401k and cash account, and that's with an employee match. The only debt is a house, $550,000, with 20 years left, 3% fixed. And I'm hoping to retire at 65 without any major lifestyle adjustments, but I'm kind of concerned and don't know if I'm on track. Investments are pretty much tied to the S&P index, small cap. of that nature. So I'd be interested to know your comments, and I hope to hear you on the show. Thanks.
Just from that little information he just gave me, I can tell you that, yeah, he's going to be fine in retirement. Now, how did I come to that? Well, he's 45. He's going to retire when he's 65. That's 20 more years. He has $1 million. He had no debt except for the house. The house is going to be paid off in 20 years, so he won't even have a house debt in when he retires. You can figure about 4 to 4.5% withdrawal rate of your nest egg every year, and you will never run out of your principal. So on $1 million, that's $45,000. And he's got 20 years to get that up. Remember, he says he spends about $100,000. Well, he's got a family. He won't spend that much in retirement because his mortgage is paid off. Hopefully he wouldn't have any debt just like he does now. And the kids in the house will probably be moved out by then. Hopefully. Maybe not. But he has that many more years to get that $1 million up even higher. And money doubles about every 7 to 10 years. So, you know, if he's in the S&P 500, that money that he has now is going to be around $3, $4 million. So, yes, he has plenty of money based on the parameters he just gave me. So try to relax, enjoy life a little bit, but keep up what you're doing. You're doing a great job. Now, let's also try and answer a question sent to us via text message. Any thoughts on CCJ or UEC? The uranium industry is really down right now. Would this be a good time to enter? And what are your thoughts on these two companies? Thanks for the great show. Ben from Jacksonville. I think that's probably Jacksonville, Florida. And I talked about one of these the other day. And I think you need to step back and think about the uranium mining business. Because CCJ, for instance, Cameco Corporation, it's headquartered out of Saskatchewan, Canada, Canadian company engaged in exploration, refining, and conversion of uranium in the U.S., Canada. Think about the industry. What's happening in the industry? What? And you know what? It's all about politics. Because no one wants to build a nuclear power plant anymore. Ever since the Fukushima accident in Japan, it's like, don't talk about it. Even though it's clean energy, don't talk about it. We don't want to do it. No one wants to do it. As a matter of fact, countries are trying to get rid of their nuclear power plants. So that tells you that uranium mining, uranium, is not going to be a very positive thing to want to own. It's just not. Sales aren't doing that great. They're going to make, earnings are gone down 17% this year, the estimate is, and then another 1%. So, you know, you can look at it and say, well, they're going to make, for instance, CCJ, Chemical Corp, they're going to make 71 cents and the stock is only $9.30. So you get excited about it, saying, hey, that looks fairly cheap. Well, not if their earnings and sales keep going down. It doesn't. I would stay away from this whole area. I'm not interested in it. I don't think it's going to work. Politics have to turn around. I don't see that happening anytime soon or anytime at all. I don't think so. CCJ, everybody. What gets measured gets managed. The digital world offers a number of online tools for budgeting. 6 online tools to prevent budget busting. In other words, spending more money than you have. Do not spend more money than you have. That's going to be one of our talking points. Also going to talk about the jobs report that came out this morning. This is for August, July jobs report. And what to do if something is on your credit report that shouldn't be there. What should you do about it? Besides get mad, what should you do about it? And oil. I want to talk about oil. Oil bounced a lot today. But will that last? What are the oil prices going to do? You know, in my annual letter to all the clients, I talked about what oil probably will do this year. And I'm pretty much on target so far, but you still could get a spike. But you also can get another collapse. What was interesting about oil is what OPEC is doing. And then what did Putin say? Putin is, of course, the Russian premier or president or dictator or czar. I don't know what you call him these days. He's one of those. So those are things we're going to discuss. Of course, you come first. If you have some question you want to talk about, I'll be happy to do it. As long as it's financial, The market was up today, 73 on the Dow, 9 on the NASDAQ, and 9 on the S&P and 23 on the NASDAQ. So it's up today. And why? Why was the market up today? Well, we're going to talk about that in a bit. A reminder that no matter where you live in the U.S., we can review your retirement picture. I've done it many times. I can do it on Skype. I can do it over the phone. I can do it in person. I do set aside some time each month for portfolio reviews on Skype or telephone. I do it all the time. To schedule an hour with me, an appointment, you can go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's. And click on the InvestTalk tab. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay? Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Hello? I can't hear him. Jay, we lost you. Did something happen to your phone? Oh, well. Anyways, I know he wanted to talk about... Okay, Jay, you there?
Yeah, hi, Steve. I have a question on MYL Mylan.
Okay. Okay, this is Mylan Pharmaceuticals, everybody. Generic and branded drugs. That's what they make for treatment of central nervous systems and cardiovascular and other disorders. Have you been paying attention to the news recently on their EpiPen, Jay? This is why the stock has fallen very sharply. It's fallen from $49 down to $39 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days. Okay, that's a pretty sharp fall because they were very, very expensive, and Hillary talked about how drug companies are ripping people off, basically, and this one in particular, and of course this talk got hit hard. Is the stock worth more money than it's trading at? Yes. I mean, right now it's at a 9 PE. It's going to make $5.82 next year, and it's a $39 stock, $40 stock. And so that means it's trading at, what, 7 PE? And the five-year range is 8 to 20? It's the news that's the problem. And so what I think that is, looks like a buying opportunity to me. You can see a lot of support coming in right around the high 30s here. So I would wait to make sure it trades sideways for a few days and maybe start back up before you buy it. Maybe it's not done falling because it had a pretty bad day today. It was down 4.65% today. You don't want to catch a falling knife. You're going to get cut. Let it fall. Hit the ground, rattle around a little bit, then pick it up gently. Okay? So it's still falling. But the numbers are very good. And the company's really solid. So, yeah, I like Mylan. MYL, just not right now. Just not right now. Appreciate the call, Jay. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The jobs report came out today. Did you take a look at it? Did you see what it did to the market? Why would that move the market? Anyways, have a text question. Hey, guys, I'm out. I am out from gold, and I'm thinking to go into uranium. Same. He's asking about the exact same thing that the other caller called. See, so the answer is no. Stay away from uranium. You should have stayed in gold. Stay away from uranium. Should have stayed in gold. Because I think gold's got another leg up yet. I really do. Why not up your economic IQ? Take a look at our recommended book section on investtalk.com. You'll see Basic Economics, A Common Sense Guide to the Economy by Thomas Sowell. That's just from a long list of hand-picked books that can enrich your knowledge and help you feel more confident about managing your own money. You can see it right there on investtalk.com. Time to give me a call. online, I have six of them, online tools to keep your spending in check. In other words, budgeting. You know, a hated word that no one wants to do. But there's tools you can download to your phone, to your laptop, your pad, whatever, that you can use to help you budget your life. Frankly, I don't do that myself, but some people have spending problems. Matter of fact, a lot of people have spending problems. Most of the time, it is a spending problem, not an earning problem. But there's certain pieces of software out there that can help you set up and manage a budget. And the most popular one that I know is called Mint, M-I-N-T. And it's the gold standard of personal budgeting. And, you know, it helps you customize your budget, your spending goals. It's a pretty good software. I've seen it. I've never used it, but I've seen it. And some of the others, Budget Plus. There's a Save Money, Kiplinger Household Budget Worksheet. You Need a Budget. Yes, that is a piece of software. You Need a Budget is its name. And Money Dance are some the six most popular out there, or at least that's six that are very popular. The last two cost money. Okay, it costs you money, about $50 a year. The others are free. So if you need help staying within a budget, these kind of tools will help you. And, you know, some people just don't really know how much money they spend. All they know is that by the end of the month, their money's gone for all the work they did, you know, from their salaries. Well, that means you don't have control of what of your spending, and you need to get on top of that. Everybody needs to get on top of that. So take a look. You can see the article on our website that refers to these six pieces of software. So just go there, take a look at it, and decide what you want to do. Mint, as I said, is the most popular. 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the phone. 888-992-4278 is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve and Justin, podcast listener here. Would you guys want to talk about the Potash and Agrium possible merger, whether or not that's going to be good for one, good for the other, or good for both? We'd be glad to hear. Thanks.
Okay, well, I talked about this, was it Tuesday? And I, you know, when anybody calls, I have to admit that we own a stock. And we happen to own both of these. Potash, P-O-T is the symbol, and Agrium, A-G-E-M, I think is the symbol. And we own both these, and what was it? I think it was Monday, they agreed to a merger. Not a buyout of one of the other, a merger. And the stock popped right up to its recent highs. Okay, now, since we own both, we're going to keep it. If you owned one, you own Potash, but not Agrium, or vice versa, you have to decide whether or not you think it's good, because why would you own one but not the other? Now you have to decide, do you want to own both of them? My personal opinion, these were very, very low-priced stocks ready to turn around, both of them. And for everybody else, they're in the fertilizer business, basically. And they're you know, a Potash Corporation manufactured fertilizer and related industrial and feed products, because these stocks were beat up in the recent years because of the commodity collapse, okay, because of economic slump and, you know, and various other reasons. Everybody in the world is trying to make their currency cheap against everybody else's currency so they can export their way to prosperity. And since everybody is doing it, it's not working for anybody. Pretty foolish. But, you know, Potash was selling at one time $34 a share. And it got down to, you know, $15 or so. And it pays a 5.6% dividend. I like both of them. And we own both of them in some of our stock managed accounts. And I like the deal. Why I like the deal? Because it gives them more market share. I like the deal. I think it's going to be very good for both of them. 888-99-CHART. Test question. My mother and father are looking for some financial advice. My father is 66 and my mother is 60, so they are approaching the retirement age. They both have 401ks. My mother just inherited $30,000 and she received a $3,000 per month from an annuity left to her by her father. Since they are both working, they do not need these funds at the moment. What would you suggest they do with the money? Well, my first question would be, number one, when are they going to retire? 66 at 60. Number two, how much debt do they have? If they have any debt, I take that money and put it toward the debt because they're approaching retirement age and you don't want to have any debt when you go into retirement. It's not a smart thing. You want to get rid of your debt, even your mortgage debt, when you go into retirement. Remember, you don't need the tax write-off when you're retired because you're not earning any money anymore. Maybe Social Security, but you're nearly not earning any money. So that would be the first things I would do. When are you retiring? And do you have any debt? And if you do, use this money to pay it off. Let's say you have no debt and you plan on working another 10 years. Then I would invest it in the market. But, you know, I need more information really to answer this question fairly for your parents. So why don't you send me an email? When I get some more details, we'll talk about it. We're open to your money questions and comments, 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through to us right now. You're listening to Invest Talk.
Invest Talk is all about above average investing for the average investor. How do you prepare your retirement plan for a volatile market? Talk about it now, 888-99-CHART. We'll get back to today's podcast in just a moment. KPP created a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower risk tolerance, but still desire some exposure to the potential growth of the stock market. Learn about our balanced income program. When you're ready, just go to investtalk.com, click on the investments tab. Now, more Invest Talk. Continue now with this Friday, September 2nd Invest Talk. In search of higher yielding ETFs, that's our talking point for Monday's Invest Talk. That's next time. But what about right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the U.S.
888-992-4278 is our number. Time to give me a call if you want to talk about anything financial this Friday afternoon before we head into the long weekend. I know a lot of you are out there heading out, so give me a call if you want to talk. Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Hey, Steve, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Regarding Vivo, that is a WB. It's a Chinese website. But my question is regarding number of shares issued, how I will know, and how you think this company.
Okay, we're talking about Baidu, right? Baidu?
This is WB. That's a microblogging site like Twitter.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I'm sorry. That sound went out there for a little bit, and I had trouble hearing. And plus, I'm old, and I can't hear very good, so I'll blame myself. Provider of social networking platform for people to create, distribute, and discover Chinese language content. And you were asking about the shares outstanding? There are 213 million shares outstanding, it looks like to me. 213.5 million. Is that what you wanted to know? Shares in the float are 13.5 million.
It's a value, market value. Some sites are telling us a 10 billion and some is 1 billion.
It's 10 billion. The ones who say 1 billion, probably somewhere they say it's a it's a factor of 10. Somewhere, a lot of these websites may say 1 and they mean a billion, as versus they'll say 300 if they mean 300 million. So you kind of learn the website lingo depending on what financial site you are at, and it is a $10 billion company. Okay?
Okay. And what do you think about this?
It has gone up very, very nicely ever since the fall in the first of the year. It's gone from $12.50 to $49. So the question is, would you be chasing performance? And the answer would be, yes, you're chasing it. And I would not chase it. It's a very good company. The growth is very strong percentage-wise. Sales growth 30%, 40% in the last year or so. Earnings are going to be up 113% this year to 68 cents, and then next year $1.12. Okay, but making $1.12, how much is that worth? Okay, if you say, well, it's going to grow another 30%, okay, we'll give it a 30 PE. That's $30. You think it's 40%? Maybe you can give it a 40 PE. Well, that's $42. It's at 49. I think you need to wait for a pullback. But it's a very solid Chinese company, okay? And it's big. It's a big company. Now, are they telling us the absolute truth about the numbers? You just never know. You just don't know. But the company itself, looking at the fundamentals I see, is pretty strong. So wait for that pullback. You'll get one. And wait for the pullback in the market overall. And whatever this pulls back because of the market, that's when you'd probably want to pick it up. Right now, it's just gotten extended. It's going to have a correction here, Manu. Just be patient. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. WB. WB as in boy. Webbo Corporation. 888-99-CHART. Okay, the jobs report. This is for August jobs. There was 151,000 reported today. They expected 170,000. And just to remind you, last month, for the month before, July, it was 275,000. So they expected a pretty big drop in the number, and it dropped a little bit more than they thought it would. They, meaning the experts. And remember, I've always told you over and over and over and over, the experts are always wrong. They're always wrong. It's a matter of how much, but they're always wrong. The jobs that were created were in the healthcare, 39,000, leisure and hospitality, 29,000, government, 25,000. Those were the major job, the most jobs created there. And where it was lost most was in manufacturing, 14,000. Now, why did the market rally when the jobs report was worse than expected? And that's a big report. Everybody watches this report. The reason being, you got to think about the Fed, the Federal Reserve. What does the Federal Reserve want to do? They want to raise rates. This job report doesn't look very strong. So most likely, they're meeting in the next 3 weeks. They're going to have a meeting in about 3 weeks. They're not probably going to raise the rates because they're going to say that this number is not strong enough. Okay, I think they're just using that. They will use that just as an excuse. I don't think they really want to raise their rates because, not just because of our economy, but more because of the world economy. If they raise the rates, it makes our dollar stronger. It affects not just the United States, but everywhere else. So I think I told you last week that I think this year, concerning the Federal Reserve and interest rates, is going to be a mirror of last year, and that means they're not going to raise rates until December. Remember, they only raised it once last year, and that was in December. Now, I have a feeling that might be the same. They might do the same thing. Now, no one really knows. They, meaning the Fed, say they respond to whatever the conditions are at the time of their meeting to the economy. What are the conditions of the economy? And they respond to that. Well, who knows? I can't tell you what the economy is going to be in 2 months from now. I just can't. I think we're going to be in pretty good shape, but not great shape. Anyways, that was the jobs report. When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Sell it, or maybe you need to sell it and downsize. Fix it up. Maybe you should fix up to sell it or fix up to live in it. Now, you have other sources to questions like this. You can give us a call. Give us a note. Send us an email. Justin Klein, as you know, is a licensed realtor, and he'll help you answer those kinds of questions. Just go to investtalk.com and click on his email button and send him an email.
InvestTalk insiders have access to all kinds of information. Example, chart lessons. Recognizing support and resistance levels is the most fundamental skill an investor should have. To become an insider, sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, I have a question regarding my Roth IRA. I primarily use Schwab ETFs. I'd like to know whether I should be looking at other ETFs, Vanguard, Fidelity, or if I just Schwab is a good company. And if I need to look at different companies, how would I go about looking at ETFs? What would be a good source to evaluate ETFs one from another? Thank you. Bye.
ETFs, exchange-traded funds, become very popular in the last few years. And Schwab does have a number of them, and they're decent ETFs. I would, though, if you're going to invest in exchange-traded funds and not stocks, I would probably go to Vanguard's ETFs. And you can buy them at Schwab, by the way. You don't have to just be locked into Schwab's ETFs. You can buy anybody's ETFs at Schwab. The reason being is because Vanguard has the lowest fees inside their ETFs. Schwab doesn't. Vanguard is famous for its low-cost mutual funds and low-cost ETFs. So if you're just going to invest in the S&P 500 index through an ETF, why not buy the Vanguard ETF? Now, how to find it? Can't get much simpler. You know, through the web is easy. Just there's even a website. There's an ETF something.com. I don't remember the exact name. But you can just type in any, you know, almost anywhere search engine and find any kind of ETF lists. Now, if you're looking for specific lists of ETFs, I do have a short list of high dividend paying ETFs. And if you want a copy of that, just send me an email and I'll send it to you and ask for it. It's free. It's no big deal. It's just, you know, I think I got 5 or 6 high dividend paying ETFs and a couple more Vanguards. So, you know, looking for an ETF, finding an ETF, you know, it's very, very simple. Very simple. Just go to the web and say, I would like to say I want a list of exchange-traded funds. They'll give them to you. Time for InvestTalk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Trading volume is a measurement of the activity of the market. It's the amount of buying and selling of stocks. How many shares? The volume of traded shares of stock. Most traders keep a close eye on it. When volume is low, when there's a stock out there where the volume is very, very low and they don't trade very much. For instance, Webflow, we just talked about, their volume is $13 million shares a day. So no one's going to be able to, you know, influence that stock price. But some stocks trade only a few hundred to a few thousand a day. And you have to understand or know that because you don't want to be scammed. And there are legal ways to drive a stock up and down. I can buy as many shares as I want. So if there's only 2,000 shares traded a day and I buy 2,000 shares the first thing in the morning and there's hardly any shares outstanding, guess what? I'll drive that stock price up, won't I? I'll drive it up. Up, up, and up, and up. And then I try to sell it all at one time to you when you see this stock exploding to the upside because of my activity. You got to be careful out there. You want to buy a stock that has a good amount of volume to it. A good amount of volume. So because a lack of volume means you're going to have a lot more volatility. Up and down price. And you can say that for the whole market, by the way. The whole market has had very low volume for over a month. That kind of tells you that we are going to be in for a bout of volatility. I can't tell you exactly when it starts, but I can tell you that September is the worst month of the year for the S&P 500. I think it's down 1.1% on average for September. So we're going to see some volume. It could be up or it could be down. I don't know. But September is the worst month, so I would be hedging on the downside myself. So be aware of what volume does. Okay? That's InvestTalk 101. Is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're right here right now at 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me a note. Click on Contact Steve or Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, this is Mike from Apple Valley, California, and I was wondering what would be a good ETF to invest in for the Japan area. Thank you.
EWJ, is the main ETF for Japan, EWJ. It's the iShares Japan ETF, exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the MSCI Japan Index. So if you wanted to get into Japanese stocks, that's how you would do it. Matter of fact, in a lot of the different countries, you would use the country-specific ETFs. Most of them have one. Most of the countries have one. I say most. I'm talking about most of the countries that have, a decent-sized economy and have a stock market and have to have companies. Okay, so that means Brazil and Australia and Switzerland and France, all the European countries, basically. But it may not mean a number of countries in, let's say, Africa or Asia that are really small. But EWJ would be the one that you would be interested in. Okay? What do you do if something is on your credit report that's not supposed to be there? What should you do about it? Well, first thing you should do, if you ever see it, you should check your credit report every so often. It's free. You can check any credit report. They're required to give it to you for free at least once a year, in case you didn't know that. And what you can do is if you spot something on there that's not right, not yours, you have to immediately get on the phone and talk to them. You can dispute it on your credit report. Now, we're not talking about your credit card. We're talking about your credit report. You can dispute it, and you can actually write a letter to be attached to your credit report to explain what that is, or at least try to explain it away. Now, if there's some kind of bad debt on the credit of yours that's old and you forgot and you didn't say, maybe they forgot to bill you. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what happened to me once. In New York, many, many years ago, we were shopping, and we were buying something, and this was at Macy's, by the way, in New York City. The teller charged us twice. Okay, so we called up. They took it off. But 2 or 3 years after that, I found out that they really didn't take it off because our credit got dinged saying we didn't pay that bill. When we did pay the bill, we just didn't pay the second bill because it was supposed to be taken off and we never got billed again. So that's how those things can happen. So you have to dispute it, and you have to dispute it in writing. So that's what you do, okay? And make sure it's in writing, because too many people think that, you can just dispute it, and then, you'll dispute it when you actually run your credit report. That's kind of too late. You want it in there for as long as it's, you probably cannot wipe it out, but you can explain it away. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. But if you can't get through to the program during our live hour, you can always use the same number. We call it our 25 listener line. And we'll answer your question on the next Invest Talk. Or you can send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. And it's an email that'll come directly to me.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk.
This is Phil from Oklahoma City. I listen to my podcast. I'd like your opinion on PowerShare Senior Loan. Symbol Boy, Kitchen, Larry, Nancy. BKLN. Thanks.
Okay. BKLN, exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the S&P Lista U.S. Leveraged Loan 100 Index. Leveraged Loan Index. So whenever you see the word leveraged, you can always exchange that word for risky. Risky. Okay. Now, this pays a 4.5% yield. Okay, now it's a question of what are those loans? What do those loans look like? What quality are those loans? Whenever you buy a bond fund or a bond ETF or any kind of financial instrument ETF, you want to know the strength behind the financial instrument. Now, I can tell you this is a pretty good-sized company, $5.1 billion, and there's a pretty liquid. It's trading for $23.23. I think it's probably gotten ahead of itself. It does not trade in a very large range. I mean, the low last year was $21 and maybe 20 cents, and now it's 23. So you're talking about something that moved up less than 10% over a year. So it's not very volatile. But it's designed probably not to be volatile. So you're really living on the 4.5% yield. And my personal opinion is you're chasing performance. It's already moved up from the beginning of the year to a new high just recently. I would wait for a correction before I consider buying it. BKLN. Oil bounced heavily, sharply today. Really nice bounce in oil. Why? Well, you can put all the credit on Putin, Vladimir Putin, and OPEC. Remember, Russia is an OPEC member, OPEC. And what they said is they talked about capping output, capping it. You know, that they're going to try to cut some of the output because we have a glut of oil around the world. And I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they can do it. The member nations of OPEC, whenever they even agree to capping, they all cheat. They've been doing it for years and years and years and years. No one stays with the cap. There's only one country that kind of stays with it, and that was Saudi Arabia, and they're the biggest producers. But now Saudi Arabia decided a number of years ago that, you know what, we're not going to continue losing market share because when we slow down production, you other people are supposed to slow down too, and you don't. And so there was a big fallout a few years ago of all the OPEC members, and they all just pump as much as they can pump. Now they're talking about maybe we'll cap it again. And that drove the stock price up, that drove the oil price of a barrel of oil up today sharply. I wouldn't get too excited about it. I wouldn't. First of all, they have to agree. And we haven't seen that happen in a number of years now. And then they have to then actually do it. Not happening, most likely. It's not something I would get excited about. Now, I have said that I think oil is going to train the range in the 30s, from 30s, 30 bucks on up to about maybe 60 for this year. And the lowest gotten was a high 20s. And the high has been, low 50s so far this year. I think it's like $47, $48 a barrel. Does anybody know how many gallons in a barrel of oil? Most people think it's a 55-gallon drum. It's not. It's 47 gallons. I don't know why, but that's it. And you all know that oil and other commodities like gold trade in U.S. dollars around the world. They don't trade in drachmas or the euro or the yen or the yuan. They don't. They trade in dollars. So, the strength of the U.S. dollar is very impactful on oil prices and gold prices. Just so you know. Our time is up. I hope we lived up to your expectations. Your questions keep us on track, you know that. Addressing the issues that you need to know more than what I want to talk about. Use our 24-hour anytime line and ask your questions. We'll play it on the next Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. And enjoy your Labor Day weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.